Welcome. This is the 100% Open blog and podcast. I'm Heli Hartland, and we are discussing business transformation in the context of the retail sector today. Do let us know your views on our blog at 100open.com. Share your thoughts on LinkedIn or Twitter, or email us for a face-to-face meeting at hello@100open.com. Now, I have with me Kate Trotter.
Hello.
Who is an in-demand speaker and expert in retail trends, amongst other things. Welcome, Kate.
Thanks. Hi.
Kate's business, Insider Trends, has helped hundreds of brands prepare for the future of retail. Now, Kate, what does that actually entail?
So how we pitch ourselves is we say we have all sorts of expertise about the future of retail in our heads, and we can deliver that to clients however they like. So we started out 10 years ago now, actually, delivering something called a retail safari, which is a posh name for a trend tour or a strategic tour through innovative shops, basically. Right. So we do those now in London, New York, Tokyo, Amsterdam, Milan, Shanghai, Seoul, all sorts of places.
You've become truly global.
Yes, it's super. I love it. It's super exciting. So the business started with the retail safaris, but we now do a lot of presenting. As you said, we deliver consultancy, workshops, reports. However clients want our expertise, we can package it up in those formats.
So what's currently happening in the retail sector that we should all know about?
Sorry, this is kind of taking 40 hours a week of thinking and trying to condense this into
I love it.
A soundbite.
We like a good challenge.
I shall try and simplify this for you. What I've noticed is that the pack is extending, or the pack is widening, let's say. So, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, every retailer operated in the same way. They basically had a shop. That was it. And now you've got retailers like Primark who still pretty much just have shops, or all of their sales go through the shops. But then you've got other brands who are completely reinventing how customers shop and challenging everything that is known about shopping. So thinking about voice, augmented reality, mobile wearables, that kind of thing. And then, of course, you've got the middle players who are looking at how to put technology into their stores and some quite practical initiatives, I guess. So every year, the gap between the very, very traditional players and the real forward-thinking businesses just widens and widens.
So that corresponds with when you look at the retail sector. When I look at the retail sector from the outside, and it does look very fragmented, and it's difficult to gauge what's going on. So that is a true phenomenon that is happening. So the gap is widening, and the field, if you like, or the marketplace is sort of stretching itself.
Mm. Yeah, and I guess the other thing you could say about the retail sector, the main change is technology is transforming everything. So it's kind of a cliche, but a lot of leading retailers are no longer thinking like retailers. They're starting to think like tech companies that happen to sell things, which is quite a different mindset. But the whole retail industry is really starting to think about how technology is just transforming everything.
So it does feel like, and maybe this is saying it from inside the innovation sector, but it does seem like this has been sort of going on, this technology revolution in retail, for a while. Is it, how different is it from, let's say, 10 years ago? Because there was some of that already happening.
Yes, I think I've come to think of it a bit like a monk trying to achieve enlightenment. Like every day a monk will do their practice to be more enlightened, but there is never a day where that monk will turn up and go, by the way, I'm fully enlightened, I'm done now. So it's a bit like that with retail and tech, and especially with omnichannel. It's like, it feels like it's this never-ending journey, and there are always benefits to stepping up and improving systems and making them more omnichannel. But every now
and then. How does that even work as a concept?
Well, the thing is, yeah, you can always join channels together more. Mm. And people don't seem to realise this, because I do read reports and it goes, I don't know, 70% of retailers are now omnichannel. And you think, well, you're either omnichannel or you're not. There are always progressions to make. And so I talk a lot about the next generation of omnichannel interactions, which I can tell you about.
That's really interesting. It's like most things that we understand better as time goes on, and we become more intelligent, I guess, as a global community. Everything is on a scale.
Mm. Yeah. And so I think in retail, everyone's got used to the idea of, yes, you should be able to reserve online and pick up in store, but can you go and look at something in the store and ask for it to be delivered to your house? Or I think people now are just about getting their heads around, like, buying a gift voucher through one channel and using it in another. But really, I mean, one of the most forward-thinking versions of this is Tommy Hilfiger, who I said I love, but they've come up with a range of chipped clothing that knows how often customers are wearing the clothing and where they're wearing it. And this is a very early stage thing. It's not perfect, but they are able to measure that and reward customers according to how often they wear the clothing.
Wow.
And so that's a whole new level of understanding the customer. Mm. And they can think about how that builds a new relationship in terms of loyalty, because it's not just what a customer spends, but it's truly how often they interact with your product. Mm. And they can feed all of that learning into the customer's shopping interactions in the store, potentially, or on the website or in the app. It can be taken so much further than just looking at things and shopping in different channels. And probably that's a number of years away from being in the mainstream, but that's where omnichannel interactions can be taken.
Mm.
It's about understanding the customer through multiple channels, not just selling to them.
Yeah, and of course the challenge with all technology is that there's those brands who have the resources to play and experiment and pilot things, and then the mainstream does come quite far behind. How big is that lag? I know you can't put a number on it, but is it 2 decades? Is it a decade? Is it just years? Is it even narrowing down, or is it just widening? As you said, the whole field is widening.
I'm having to learn to manage my expectations. The more experienced I become, I think it does take about 10 years between someone having an idea and that idea being taken seriously, let's say. I remember in 2011 seeing a concept for a second screen initiative, and the idea was that you could watch a film and have your iPad in your lap as you watch the film, and you'd be able to look up the clothes that the people were wearing or the actors were wearing, and they could say buy this item from H&M or Prada or whoever, and you could actually shop from your iPad. So back in 2011, I presented this as the future. And a couple of months ago, I was interviewing an image recognition company. And I said to them, so what are your next steps? And they said, we're going to be looking at building image recognition into film. And I thought, this is going to happen now, because they're a bigger company with funding. Everyone's getting used to the idea of image recognition. Mm. Everyone's got smartphones in their pockets. More things are in place now to make that a success. So it's exactly the same idea as 8 years ago, but there's a much greater chance of it taking off now, although it's still probably at least 5 years from being in the mainstream, I reckon.
Wow.
Yeah. But also, I think it's important for brands to bear in mind that they can influence adoption too. So Nike are putting a huge amount of effort into getting customers to download their app and shop through their app or interact with the app in the store. And that's working because they're communicating it really well. They're offering some really generous perks to customers who download that app. So actually people are using it.
Yeah.
And that's something else that gets, I get a bit frustrated. Time and time again, I see brands who will launch some exciting new initiative, but then forget to communicate it to anyone. So I was in Starbucks in Milan a couple of weeks ago, and that space is doing incredibly well. It's like this new, their new reserve concept. If you look at it online, you'll see that they've spent a lot of money building an augmented reality app for that space, but no one uses it because they don't communicate it in the space. I mean, for Starbucks, it doesn't matter because everyone's so excited to be there and they're all taking pictures anyway. But it was literally only me, the retail nerd, who was using this app in the space. So it was a bit of a waste of money on that front. So, yeah, brands need to remember that they can influence their own futures. I read something years ago from a chap in Topshop, and he said that the most forward-thinking companies don't look to their competitors. If you only ever look to your competitors, you'll never be able to beat them. So instead, you need to find the best, the most innovative companies in the world and compete with them.
So when we run innovation strategy workshops or look outside the client company's marketplace for inspiration, definitely it's more about the situational application. So it's that kind of applied learning of, okay, who else is in this you know, messy situation in their own sector, or who's come through this kind of merger, or who's had these challenges in terms of market share or products failing or succeeding, or you know, going from a pioneering position to slowly just kind of fading into the masses and no longer kind of standing out, and then learning from those stories. So definitely that resonates very strongly. From that, in our work at 100% Open, in Open Innovation, we are seeing a lot of demand for projects around transformation. So it's digital transformation, cultural transformation, sometimes it's leadership transformation or some other formation. Mm-hmm. And we are continuously expanding our ability to assess whether the client is actually saying, we're ready now, come and transform us, like truly. Or we think we should do transformation, but we haven't got a clue really. And those are quite different positions to start collaborating from. And it's very interesting to see the different levels of what I would call organizational self-awareness and the integrity with which they actually either are honest about their situation and can recognize it or not. And let alone talk about it with an external partner. And in our case, like, we're one of the more friendly ones, and still it can be challenging. So I wonder how much of this you see happening in retail in terms of transformation. How does that look like? How much resistance is there? Is there willingness? Is there capability? What's going on?
Yeah, I think it's difficult because I get the feeling that transformation is a word that's possibly overused to the point where it's lost some of its meaning. And there's a big difference between saying the word
innovation, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, saying the word transformation and actually transforming. And I'm sorry, just while you were saying all of this, I was thinking, I wonder if you could ask a client to complete a small survey before they come in, going, do you realise that transformation is messy and scary and potentially expensive and will make you question everything? And are you prepared to go through this?
Funnily enough, we have on our website, on 100open.com, we have a innovation readiness quiz
cool.
for corporates, for companies, to see what level of readiness their company actually is at.
Nice.
It's a very simple, simple little exercise, but I would recommend having a go at that and see whether it resonates with the kind of topics that you're thinking in your head.
Great. So, yeah, you can kind of get a sense of where people are at before they come to you. That's good. I'm going to do this and see if I can transform my business.
So if I can flog another test that we have is we have also a collaboration style test. So that helps us suss out when we go into a room with a bunch of client-side teams, what proportion of the room are, for example, explorers, or what proportion are cultivators, and then we can manage the room and we can manage sort of smaller teams and make sure that everyone is represented. So we don't just have, you know, blue sky ideas people. We have people who activate others.
Oh, nice!
and that has really worked really well for us, and we get really nice feedback because we give those reports to the client to say, here's how your organization ranks amongst others and other sectors, and here's the division within your team. So that's it's a nifty little tool, but you can look those up, like I said, on 100open.com.
Okay,
let's go back to those clients who may well actually truly be in readiness to transform. Yes, companies can suddenly be very small and super global, or very, very big and not be able to break out of their region. So that's definitely a challenge for the retail sector itself. Is there anything that you would like to see coming from perhaps outside the retail sector and outside just pure technology that would challenge and really shake up things, maybe speed up things, or...
I just constantly wish people would take a few more risks, I think, and test a few more things. That's it feels like everyone in business 5 or 10 years ago read Start With Why, but Insider Trends' why is actually to make the world less mediocre.
I love it.
So we have a belief that the world can be more interesting, and so... Sorry, this isn't perhaps the precise answer that you wanted, but I don't know. I just think things can be more interesting. Things can work better than they do today. And it's just a little bit frustrating when, I don't know, I think businesses can think boldly, and I tend to find businesses play things a little bit safe. But now, of course, there's... it's becoming clear what happens to businesses when they don't change and they do play it too safe. So hopefully that will have a positive effect of things working a little bit better and becoming a bit more interesting.
Yes, and a little bit less mediocre.
Mm.
Going back to how you do your job,
mm-hmm.
how do you challenge yourself?
So we just kind of try to challenge each other in the team. So we do often like focus around a project, of course, but we also run sessions where we test hunches, where someone will come in and go, I just have a feeling that this is happening around retail, or this is an interesting subject area. And other people will be invited to talk about why they think that is true, or why they think it isn't true, or go off and find information or examples or stats that support one or the other. And the idea is, it doesn't actually matter what the answer is. It matters that the answer is the one that we feel is right. So, I mean, it is a bit of a bugbear of mine. Like, I do hear other people or see other people talk about the future, and they'll say something, they'll make a big statement and they'll talk about it for a while, but they won't show any data. They won't really prove it.
They don't really back it up, so it's more of a conviction than it is something they've actually observed happening, or is that what you mean?
Yeah, so it just, I don't know, it, there's also something in trends where everything can be a trend, but there are some trends that are hugely important, and there are other trends that barely move the needle, and I think that's actually a downfall of the whole industry, to be honest, is that not all trends are born equal, and you should be able to quantify a trend a bit to say this is going to have a big impact, or this is going to, this is a trend, you know, people are increasingly doing this thing, but it's not actually having, going to have a massive effect. And again, trying to think about the trends that really are changing the industry. Sadly, sustainability still feels like something that's being tacked on the moment, that people need to, or businesses need to show they're doing enough so customers don't get upset. But whether that's enough is a completely different matter. And I think the scary thing is that for businesses to truly be sustainable, that involves completely challenging the business model.
Yeah.
And that is really difficult.
Before we started this conversation today, you were actually very excited about a revelation that you had had. So let's out it now for the first time ever.
Okay.
What happened?
Wait, what I thought the other day was there are two basic camps of innovation, certainly within retail at the moment. So there are companies who are questioning everything and redesigning their retail ecosystems. And I mean, it's not an exciting word anymore, but I was thinking those businesses are the really disruptive retail businesses. So they're kind of camp two.
Yeah.
Camp one, though, is the camp that I see a lot more of. So often when you go to trade shows now, you'll see people with booths offering technology for the store. So these are things like a magic mirror, perhaps, when you go into a store and it might, if you wave something in front of it, it might show you more items. Or actually, one of the most exciting things I saw was some shelf tags that you could, I think the ultimate aim is that you could talk to the shelf tags.
Ooh.
So you could stand in front of a whole load of I don't know items in a supermarket, basically, and say, show me all the items that are gluten-free, or show me all the cereal bars that don't have milk in them, and then these little lights on the shelf tags will light up. So that is this first, things like that are in this first camp of innovation, which are really these kind of iterative types of, or additive types of innovation. They exist within the current paradigm that the store is still the central place to make a sale, and they are focusing on getting more value out of that sale. There's some omni-channel interaction in this first iterative camp, but I think that there's a lot more ultimately to be gained from this second camp. But when I realized that there are these two different areas, I think I realized why there's so much activity in the first one, because it's still improvement. Everyone feels that they're improving, and which is important, and there's definitely value to be had in improving. But if you can question everything and potentially take more risks and build something entirely new, then there are potentially much greater benefits to be had from completely changing the paradigm. So that was my thought.
This links beautifully back to the theme of transformation. Like you said, okay, I'm going to use this now. There's these two camps.
Yeah.
One is just purely iterative and still moving forward, so showing progress and kind of disguising as perhaps more progress than it is. And one is the true disruptive, often probably firstly to the business itself, internally disruptive style of transformation and innovation. Wow. Okay, that's something we can all start digesting. What does that mean for your business? What does that mean for your clients? What does that mean for how you collaborate, how you question what you're doing, how you challenge each other, and how you support each other in being more brave, being more more like the monk and going towards the enlightenment. So that's the incremental bit. But at the same time, we all should be less mediocre, like you said. So I hope you've enjoyed our conversation today. This is the 100% Open blog and podcast. I'm Helly Hartland, and I've been talking to the wonderful and insightful Kate Trotter of Insider Trends. Thank you so much, Kate, for Thanks. Taking the time.
It's been really fun. Thank
Always
you.
Always lovely to see you. Do let us know your views on our blog at 100open.com, or share your thoughts on LinkedIn, or email us for a face-to-face meeting. You can find us at hello@100open.com. And if you want to tag Kate and me, I am at Helly Hartland, heart like the organ pumping blood in your chest. And Kate is at Insider Trends. Now, enjoy the rest of your day, and let's all strive to be less mediocre.